Hare Krishna. This morning I had the opportunity to privilege addressing Radhe Shyam, and we had a short kirtan and a short class. And the class is from first canto, Parikshit Maharaj, punishing Kali. And it was just that part where Kali casts off his king's robes, his kingly robes, because he was dressed as a king, and bows down, takes shelter of Parikshit Maharaj. And the topic of the purport, short purport, was that aside from all the other reasons that Parikshit Maharaj was going to kill Kali, the other one was that because he was dressed in the robes of a king, falsely dressed in the robes of a king. In other words, he was assuming a position, advertising a position he was not qualified for because he was a Shudra, which is also interesting because Kali is just not an ordinary Shudra. He's also a universally empowered being. And interesting that universally empowered beings also have class. So he's certainly, again, he's in the Shudra class. Even in our present world that we live in, we see that people's appearance really play a important role in terms of their work, just like a policeman. A policeman dresses like a policeman. If I dress like a policeman and stand out and try and direct traffic, then I'll get arrested for impersonating a policeman, what to speak of if I start doing other things as well, taking the law into my hands, which I'm not empowered to do. In other words, the dress of a policeman means that you're empowered for something. And if you try to assume that dress without being a policeman or without the empowerment, then you're guilty. Same thing. Kali was dressed as a Kshatriya, but he wasn't a Kshatriya, and therefore he was misleading people. He would be misleading people or using his dress for false purposes. For instance, here in the West, we see beggars look like beggars. In India, we often see that many beggars dress up as sadhus, and in other words, they look like sadhus. And using the guise of being a sadhu, they go around begging, but actually they're no different than beggars. So they collect more than ordinary beggars do, because people are inclined to give them. So they mislead people by their appearance. And this concept of dressing according to who you are is an important aspect. We have another example. When Prithu Maharaj was performing horse sacrifice, Indra got envious and started to steal the horses. And so Prithu Maharaj's son was going to kill Indra. Because, aside from stealing the horses, Indra disguised himself as a sannyasi. And then, both in the text and in the purport, Srila Prabhupada points out that it was from this point that people began to abuse the renounced order of life. If someone dresses as a sannyasi and steals, then yadyaraya charati shristas. Other people will also steal, since sannyasis are meant to be the exemplars of society, and they'll also take on disguises. They'll use their the sannyas dress, as I mentioned about the sadhus, for some other external purpose. So what you dress like definitely is of relevance. It's relevant socially, and not only is it relevant socially, but it's also relevant spiritually. There are different types of things that are relevant to our spiritual life. There are five. One aspect is called abhav anukul, something that's favorable for your bhav or for your mood of devotion. Often this topic comes up, or sometimes this topic comes up. Well, it doesn't matter what you dress like, it's what you are inside that's important. In other words, whether you're a devotee and you dress in devotee clothes and wear a tilak, or you wear karmi clothes, it doesn't matter. In a very absolute or in a very transcendental sense, that argument may be valid. But when you're a conditioned soul means is that you relate to your circumstances and you relate to how you dress. Which means that when you dress as a devotee, you tend to behave and act like a devotee and think like a devotee. And when you dress in karmi clothes, then you tend to think and behave like a karmi. That's what a conditioned soul means. If you happen to be Shukadeva Goswami, then you can walk around naked and you still identify yourself as being Krishna's servant. But when you're not, then it's very much anukul. That's why I always encourage devotees who have to work outside and have to wear karmic clothes, that when they go home, they should change. They should dress in dhoti, sari, put on tilak, just to reinforce their identity as devotee. Otherwise, constantly dressed in non-devotional clothes will tend to reinforce the identity that I'm also like that, then you start behaving like that, and ultimately one ends up in disaster. The whole situation leads to disaster. So, yes, it was a very important idea of how someone's dressed. And when someone is dressed as a kshatriya, and in that purport, Prabhupada talks about how a real kshatriya, someone who dresses a kshatriya is a real kshatriya, and the real kshatriya has certain characteristics. It's not just a matter of how you dress that's important, but it's what that dress represents. And one qualification, one characteristic of a kshatriya is that he's fearless, and Prabhupada mentions in the purport is that he fights to the death. An example that Prabhupada himself repeatedly gives, and I can't remember who it is, one of the Rajasthani kings. Rajasthan means the land of kings, because they're really kshatriyas by nature. And one of these kings was waging battle, I think, with Akbar, and his army got wiped out, and he got wounded, and so he came home. And he knocked on the door in order to get let in, and his wife asked, "Who's that?" And he says, "It's me, your husband." He said, he says, "What happened?" He says, "Well, the whole army got routed, I got wounded, so I came home." And she says, "No, you can't be my husband." He says, "My husband wouldn't come home. If he was wounded, he would fight to the death. You must be an imposter." So she wouldn't let him in. And then I believe he went back and stirred by his wife's words, he went back and saved the day and won the battle. So that's what a kshatriya is. Similarly, if you dress like a kshatriya, then that's how you have to behave. If you dress like a sannyasi, then you have to behave like a sannyasi. And similarly, if you're a devotee, if you're a Vaishnava or a Vaishnavi, then you have to dress like a Vaishnava or a Vaishnavi. So the dress makes the person. The dress does make the person. The person also fulfills the dress. Both things need to be there. We can't artificially try to say that it's not important. It is important. Here's example from Srimad Bhagavatam how dress is important. And then, of course, another point which comes out, but that's for later, is how then Kali abandons his Kshatriya dress, which was sort of interesting. What did he do? He just like undressed, and what did he put on once he undressed? But anyway, he undressed and he abandoned his Kshatriya clothes and he surrendered to Parikshit Maharaj, and Parikshit Maharaj gave him shelter. Unfortunately, of course that was inspired by Krishna, but unfortunately giving shelter to Kali meant that Kali would then actually kill him. And that is something that we have to be careful of, who to give shelter to, because sometimes we give shelter and that person then takes advantage and still continues to do us harm. And that's what happened with Parikshit Maharaj. But then Parikshit Maharaj didn't have any choice. Although he had the ability to kill Kali, he couldn't kill Kali, because if you killed Kali, there'd be no Kali Yuga. And it's in Krishna's plan for there to be Kali Yuga. Hare Krishna.